Welcome to Revival Talk Podcast. Today you'll hear part two of The Altar That Alters. The text for this message is found in Isaiah 56, verse 7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Let's join the message now.
Secondly, the altar is a place of separation. It's a place of sacrifice, but it's a place of separation. Amanda Bies writes, there is no way anyone can serve God successfully without an efficient prayer altar. She continues, we learn from the Bible that godly men of old accorded the altar its rightful place in their lives. So every time they wanted to know more of God, or they wanted to meet with Him, they went ahead and raised their altars with which they connected themselves with the throne of God. This altar is an altar of sanctification. It's a place of separation. The Bible says that it is God's will that every believer experience sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Webster's Dictionary defines sanctification as to make sacred or holy, to set apart to a holy or religious use, to consecrate by appropriate rites, to hallow, to make free from sin, to cleanse from moral corruption and pollution, to purify. The Full Life Study Bible Commentary defines sanctification as used in Scripture means to make holy, to consecrate, to separate from the world, to be set apart from sin in order that we may have close fellowship with God and serve Him. Joshua gave these instructions to the children of Israel before they crossed over into the Promised Land. In Joshua 3:5, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What did he mean by that? Set yourself apart. Consecrate yourself. Dedicate yourself to God, because the Lord tomorrow will do wonders among you. Before they could cross over in their inheritance, they had to separate themselves unto God. We must allow the Lord today to separate us unto Himself. In Acts 9:15, the Apostle Paul was called a chosen vessel unto God. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. God is calling us to the altar of separation, to a place of consecration. 1 Corinthians 6:17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean, and I will receive you. We're not to be isolated, but insulated, said Vance Havner. Moving in the midst of evil, but untouched by it. Separation is contact with contamination. Jesus was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Yet he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. The altar should be a place of separation. And here's the twofold purpose of sanctification. We don't hear much about sanctification anymore. Can I preach all right, a little bit? Sanctification is when I am set apart. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 11, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive to God. That word reckon there is the word where we get reconciliation, where we reconcile a checkbook. It means to count things. We count ourselves by faith. I enter into the covenant that I no longer have to allow sin, Romans 6:14, to have dominion over me. There's a crisis where thereby I embrace the power of sanctification in my life, and I get set apart. I no longer have to live under sin's thumbnail. I no longer have to declare I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I was a sinner. I'm saved. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The principle of sin is broken in my life, and I have dominion now over sin in my life. That don't mean that I can never sin again. It's not sinless perfection, as we preached in the past. But what it means is now there's a new victory that's available to me. We believe the sanctifying experience took place when Jesus led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted his hands and he blessed them. The Bible said they were in the temple continually with great joy. That's the first time we see the disciples with great joy in their lives. But there's a second purpose in sanctification, and that is to set me apart unto himself. It is a preparation for God to use me. He sets me apart from the principle of sin. It helps me to get dominion over the flesh and dominion over that self-life. But he sets me apart unto himself for a holy purpose. That's what the altar is about. It's a place of separation. Then third and last, the altar will be a place of satisfaction. Satisfaction. You make sacrifice. You allow the Lord to set you apart unto his holy purpose. That means I've given my all to him. We sing it, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I humbly give. That's what sanctification is about. That's what separation is about. I surrender. I surrender. It's a surrendering of our will. How many of you know anybody that's stubborn? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Works for you sometimes because it's that strong will. I've over 30 years, I've been a lot of people that have died. And I mean, I've watched the doctor say there's no reason for them to be here medically. The only thing that's keeping them alive is their will to live. And until they surrendered that will, they didn't go home. The will is a powerful thing, the human will. It's a part of your soul. You're made up of a mind, a will, and emotions. Devil attacks your mind to stir up your emotions, to make you to make a decision of your will based on your emotional feelings, other than what's really in your heart. That's the area of attack, where we attacked in our soulish realm, our soulish nature. It's a surrender of the will to God. See, I have a problem obeying God and all of his commands because I hadn't surrendered my will to him. I'm giving him part, but I'm not giving him the whole. I'm talking about the altar still. Give him my all today. Give him my whole, the whole being, body, soul, and spirit. And what will that bring? That'll bring a satisfaction. In Genesis 8, 20 through 22, Noah built an altar to the Lord, took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled a sweet, soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. He smelled a sweet, smelling aroma. Noah offered a sacrifice of clean animals when he came off the ark, and it came up before God. Now, we don't offer an animal sacrifice, but we offer the sacrifice of praise. Praise is not a praise if it don't cost you something. It's a religious exercise. It becomes a ritual. Let's lift our hands and praise him. But folks, if it don't cost us something, it's really not a sacrifice. That means you have to praise him when you don't feel good. That means you have to praise him when you don't feel anything. And he's looking today for a people who will give his all, their all, to the altar. And let me tell you what it'll do. It'll come up before the Lord as a sweet, smelling, savor offering. And he'll make promises. He'll cut covenant. And he'll change our lives. When we rebuild and return to the altar, we're going to experience an awesome breakthrough. Amanda Bies gives the following conditions for the altar. Number one, it makes contact with God. Number two, God will always respond in one way or another. Number three, it must move God to take action. It must bring blessing upon mankind, direction for man, and judgment against our enemies. It must impact the society or the community surrounding it. The altar must bring a spiritual covering, peace, joy, progress, liberty, righteousness, and godly fear. It must succeed in connecting men with God. Unsaved people will suddenly begin to cry, to long and cry after God. It must return to the altar that alters. I want it to alter our walk, alter our life, alter our lifestyle, alter our place of commitment and dedication to him, so that we will walk with God and we will see all that God has promised us and all that God will do. God forgive us preaching a gospel of convenience and not outlining the cost that is involved in serving God. I tell you, you're not your own. You bought with a price. People say, Pastor, why do you do all the things that you do? I'd like to be a normal pastor. I really would. Why not do the things I do? Because I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. When God says you got to go and do that, you don't have a choice in it. You have to go and do it. But you are not our own. We're bought with a price. We belong to Him. And if you're not willing to get on the altar and give your all to Him, you never make it in this business. You never make it in this business. But today I'm looking at some people who are willing to say, I'm willing to give my all to God. Use me in whatever capacity you want to use me, Lord. How do you want to use me today? I want to restore the altar in my home and in my family. Husbands and wives need to pray together. 29 years, sweetest, most intimate times that Beth and I have had together are when we pray together. We got a room upstairs, but that's where we pray together often. And God has visited us many, many times in that room. There's nothing more precious than praying together. Fathers need to pray over their children. Mothers need to pray over their children. We live in a dangerous world. We need to pray protection over those children. Lay hands on them. Pray over them. Let them hear you praying. They need to hear Mom and Daddy praying. I remember when Michaela was little, we'd get to praying and she'd come in the room and say, you're making too much noise in here. She's heard. She knows. We're not ashamed of the gospel. It's time to rebuild the family altar. Remember the little bumper sticker, the family that prays together? It's true. Let's rebuild the altar. Get it rebuilt. Let's get God's priorities right in our life and in our home. Let's quit being distracted by all the things around us, and let's put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen? Amen. It's the altar that alters. Prayer room. Why are we doing a prayer room? Because we want people to understand and know that prayer is a priority. Listen, this is the only plan God has for us, and we've got to pray. How many of you want to see this church close? Anybody? You think we ought to? Let's just take a vote. How many of you think we should just close the doors today and go out of business? No, we don't want the doors to close. How many of you want to see this church grow and thrive and be blessed and see revival come to this church? How many of you want to see us tap into? Who's been here a long time can remember great services? And how many of you can remember revivals that came? How many of you can remember people getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and people being healed? Anybody remember those times? Billy got healed. He was blind and got healed. Made the front page of the paper. The Index Journal reported what God did. He's the same God today that He was when Billy got saved, healed. That's still in the flow. It's still in the stream. It's still down in the well. Let's dig down and get a hold of that. Let's find that stream. Let's reconnect to that. Amen? They've been great men and women that have served this church. They've been great people that have served this place. Let's dig down. Let's find that well. Let's find that vein. And let's tap into the DNA of that thing and let it flow through us today so that we can pick up the mantle and carry the mantle to the next place. Prayer. That's where we start. That's where we start. Look, one service is not going to bring change. One service is not going to, but if we'll pray and seek God, God will begin to visit us. And God will begin to release a strategy. And God will show us how to position ourselves and how to move to the next level. And we can see, listen, the greater days for us don't have to be in our past, but can be in our future. Amen. How's that going to happen? Altar has to take its prominent place in the house of God.